Our first scripture comes from the book of Genesis, Genesis 2, 15 through 17, and then continuing at 3, 1 through 7. Hear the word of the Lord. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, "You may eat freely of every tree of the garden, but the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat. For in the day that you eat of it, you shall die." Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die.'" But the serpent said to the woman, "You shall not die, for God knows that when you eat it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. Our next scripture comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, Romans 12 through 19. This is the word of the Lord. Hear the gospel reading. "Therefore, just as sin came into the world through one man, and death came through sin, and so death spread to all because all have sinned. Sin was indeed in the world before the law, but sin is not reckoned when there is no law. Yet death exercised dominion from Adam to Moses, even over those whose sin were not like the transgressions of Adam, who is a type of the one who was to come. But the free gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died through the one man's trespass, much more surely have the grace of God and the free gift in the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded for the many. And the free gift is not like the effect of the one man's sin, for the judgment followed one trespass brought condemnation, but the free gift following many trespasses brings justification. If because of the one man's trespass, death exercised dominion through that one, much more surely will those who receive the abundance of grace in the free gift of righteousness exercise dominion in life through the one man, Jesus Christ. Therefore, just as one man's trespass led to condemnation for all, so one man's act of righteousness leads to justification and life for all. For just as by the one man's disobedience, the many were made sinners, so by the one man's obedience, the many will be made righteous. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Mighty and gracious God, we come before you, and we ask that you will be with us as we listen. We listen for your voice in our lives, as we ask that your word would guide us, would lead us and show us the path to take. Use your word this day to guide us, to light our way, to be your people in this world, O Lord. Guide the meditations of our minds and heart as we consider what you are saying to your people. Amen. I'll warn you now, today is not going to be a comfortable day. It's never really a comfortable day when you talk about sin. Some of you will know the story I've told once in a while of my sister-in-law, who's also a minister, who went to a conference, and the instant opening of the leader of the conference was, "Good morning, saints." Everyone in a chorus, all the ministers and elders and deacons, "Good morning." "Good morning, sinners." It was a little quieter on the second. The fact is, sin is that thing in our lives we don't necessarily like to talk about it. It's that non-debatable presence in our lives, but we don't like to talk about it. We don't like to think about its hold over us. Some don't like to own up to it, and seldom do we ever actively seek for forgiveness. So often I think our lives mirror Barbara's. Barbara is that stubborn little girl of mine who for 45 minutes sat there refusing to say sorry to her brother. 45 minutes, and that was a short one. The fact is, acknowledgement of sin is hard, and so is seeking after forgiveness. I remember once being approached about the idea of removing the prayer of confession from worship. The person said, "I really don't like having that in worship. It makes me feel so guilty." Well, and I tried to explain that it's really not about feeling guilty. It's about taking those guilty sins, taking them and placing them before God so that God can forgive us. It's not about the one, it's about the two. It's about the sins with forgiveness, with assurance. It's the chance to free yourself from those sins. Free yourself from the hold of those sins. Needless to say, the conversation didn't go well. But it also reminds me of a conversation I had the wherewithal not to get involved in. For once, I managed to keep my mouth shut during a family conversation. And when you have four ministers in one generation, it's hard. My mother was sitting there, and after Sunday dinner, my brother, who was in college and taking the occasional religion class, decided he was going to poke the bear. He looked at Mom and said, "Mom, I've got a question." Instantly, my ears perked up, my head buried in the book. I wasn't going to get involved. I knew where he was going. Rob asked the question of why, at the homeless ministry Mom served, they had the prayer of confession. See, Rob's contention was, of all the people in this world, all the people who are sinners in this world, shouldn't the congregation of Heartside, who know their sins, know their failings and their fallings, know their own sins and not have to pray that prayer? Now, the congregation, the body of believers in Heartside, was a microcosm of our world. There were alcoholics and addicts, the homeless, there were veterans, there were all sorts of people and persons from all walks of life. And there was one common thread to be pulled at, and that was that they were all broken and sinners. They knew their guilt. They knew their shame. Now, the crux of the conversation was Rob positing that confession wasn't necessary for them, since they, of course, knew their sins. And couldn't you just skip ahead to the assurance and simplify things? In my head was the idea that he was hoping to shorten the service even by a minute or two. Now, Mom's approach spoke volumes. Calmly, she said, "You're right, Robert. Instantly, the ears perked up a little more. Ooh, full name. Not quite the full name, but the full name. No one is more aware of their guilt than the people of Heartside. You certainly don't need any more reason or excuse to beat them up or remove their voice in this world and cast stones at them. But Rob, the softening of the conversation, don't you think that they deserve and have the right to have their sins removed from their hearts, have the weight and burden of those sins taken away from them? Sometimes, Robbie, again, that progressive lightening, acknowledging and owning up to your sins is an act which gives you freedom. Sometimes a little confession is really good, not just for your soul, but for all of you. I'll admit, when I first heard this conversation, the depth of the theology was lost, and I was more concerned with the Robert to Rob to Robbie and how quickly Mom had gone. But after mulling it over, I realized how good it is for us to be able to be free of our sins, to take them in worship and set them before God at God's feet and allow the forgiveness of Christ to wash over us. The reality is that sin is there. Sin is a terminal addiction, a terminal condition that all of us have. In that opening verse, Paul writes about that. That death comes through sin and spreads because we are all sinners. It's one of those threads that not just the congregation of Heartside shares, but we all do. The existence of sin in our lives is not an easy pill to swallow. In it, we have to accept our own imperfection, our own fallenness, our own inability to do battle with sin. And perhaps that's part of humanity's problem. Our inability, not just against sin, but our inability to acknowledge its presence and its hold on us. But lest we throw our hands up in the air and say, well, the battle's lost, let's move on. You know, like a baseball game when you're getting beaten 30 to nothing, it's easier to just not play. Paul uses a very key phrase, a very particular phrase that deals with that power structure, with that depth. Much more surely, and no, that's not surely as in Laverne and Shirley. It's much more, so much greater is the power, so much more sure is this reality, so much greater is this reality. Sin is one reality, but so much more is the reality of Christ. The reality of Christ and Christ's forgiveness and grace. Think about that power of Christ. Every year at the start of Lent, we think often about Christ and his 40-day journey in the wilderness. After Christ is in the wilderness and weakened from fasting, he's tempted not just once, but three times. He's tempted three times, and not in normal ways. Of course, the temptations fit the man who Christ is, the power that is Christ. And every time, Christ shows his power to be greater than that of temptation, that he is greater than the tempter. Paul points out, using that phrase, how the grace of God the free gift of God is greater than the trespass of the fall. He goes on to spell out the process. Judgment follows trespass, and that brought condemnation. But the gift of grace through Christ brings justification. Grace brings justification, brings life. Trespass brings death. Grace is greater than trespass, which is greater. Life is greater than death. Thanks be to God. Now, the difficulty here is that, and with sin, is that we like to pass that burden of sin. One of the most ridiculous aspects of the Genesis account is how easy it is for one to pass the burden on to the next. Think about it. Adam's response when God says, "What have you done?" "Well, the woman you put here." And what's Eve's response? "Well, it wasn't just me, it was the serpent." Everybody has a reason why they sinned. Not an acceptance of their "I'm" and a seeking for forgiveness. There's almost a "it wasn't me, I'm not the only one, they did it, they did it, they did it." It's the passing of the buck, the pushing in front of the bus, the other. Think about that. How easy it is to not accept what you have done and what you have been. We do that ourselves. We fool ourselves into thinking that sin is for others, that others are the ones who sin, and meanwhile, we go on in our sinning. But the reality is that grace is beautiful. Forgiveness and righteousness through Christ is beautiful. Think about that. The beauty of forgiveness. How can you not love forgiveness and grace? But we can't just take grace without acceptance of our sins. Grace is a process. It begins with the acknowledging that we are sinners, and that we are in need of God's grace. If we think that somehow, some way, we are the only persons on this earth who are without sin and do not sin, we aren't just fooling ourselves, but we are being blasphemous and equating ourselves with Christ if we think we are without sin. The fact is, we are all sinners. We are all in need of God's grace. Grace and sin will be present in our lives forever. It will be a movement, a dance, so to speak. Because of the pervasiveness of sin and how ingrained it is, we will be not just struggling against it for 40 days in the wilderness, but for all our days. And we will be partaking of grace, not just for 40 days, but again, for all our days. The day when we finally stop the wheel turning will be the day we go on to glory. The grand question which follows us is, what are we going to do? Are we going to respond to the gift of grace? Are we going to seek to try and rid ourselves of sin and fail? Yes, fail, but keep on trying. The first piece is to seek to win the battle with sin, to seek to try against it, knowing that we will fail. But also remember that forgiveness and grace is there for us. It is there as a gift, a precious and beautiful gift for us. And that when we fall, Christ will pick us up and we must walk again. Brothers and sisters, let us not just respond to grace, but seek to get rid of sin in our lives. Brothers and sisters, let us walk this path in Lent and every day after. Amen. At this time, the ushers and greeters